Hello guys, what's up? I know it has been a week. I hope you've had a great week. Good morning, good night, good afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. This is my podcast, Sex with Amanda. I feel like I need a new intro. I feel like I should have an intro, and I keep listening to other podcasts and like listening to YouTube videos and shit, and I'm like, they have an intro, and I really don't. But what's up? I hope you've had a great week. As you can tell by the title, I'm going to be talking about daddy issues and mommy issues. Thank you to Nick, who asked me about this topic. He snapped me and was like, hey, I don't know. Oh, hopefully it's okay that there's a million Nicks, so you know who you are. But anyways, he told me, like, what are the core things about having daddy issues and having mommy issues, and why do they occur? And both of them come from insecure attachment styles from childhood. So it's basically there's two complex, it's called the, I am going to butcher this, and you know, it sucks because I feel bad. It's the Oedipus, you know, it's not called that, you know, it's called something else. And I would know how to say it because I used to know how to say it, but right now I don't know how to say it. So it's Oedipus complex. That's with daddy issues. And the other one is Electra complex. It's similar to the you know, when you look at a word and you're like, man, I know how to say it, but I can't. So basically that's what's happening to me right now. But that complex is when male children feel as though they are competing with their father for their mother's affection and attention, whereas Electra complex is the opposite. It's when a female children feel as though they're competing against their mothers for attention from their fathers. So they say you could have a combination of both issues, which makes sense because if you have an insecure attachment style, you have a mom and a dad, both of them, like, or if you have divorced parents, there's so many things that can be the root of it, but it all depends on your childhood. And it really relates to the fact of how, like, I like to say mama's boy, or like, you have mommy issues, right? And that means that you are clingy in relationships. You are like to be taken care of very much so, because you've always had a mother that took care of everything. I can tell you that because I dated somebody that had a mommy issue. And they were very kind, very sweet. But I feel like a lot of men actually that I've dated were like that. They had mommy issues. Not to say that I don't have daddy issues, because I had a dad that abandoned me when I was a kid. So there you go. There's my history lesson for today of Amanda. But it all depends on who you are, your childhood, obviously. But the main thing is, I feel like regardless of which is which, it's clinginess. And you have other offset things that happen, like you are codependent with that person, you are internalizing everything with that person that you're in a relationship with, that you're trying to form attachment with. It's funny though, because I do have friends that are like, oh, that's weird. I was having a conversation with somebody, one of my best friends, and she was talking about another person, and she was like, oh, this person was clingy to this person, and it's just weird. And I was like, not really. It's not, because I know from personal experience. So, like, I know she doesn't know that I've had that, but, like, I know a lot of girls that have had, like, the issue where they have sex with somebody, and then they feel constantly, like, needing them or clingy to them because, oh, they showed me intimacy, but that's not really intimacy. You know, let's throw that out the window, because that isn't intimacy. Having sex with somebody, especially a stranger, or even not a stranger, it could be somebody that's your friend. You just think that they like you and you like them, but like, they don't like you any more than that, which sucks. And they should probably be upfront more with it, because most people are not upfront about what they want. Let's be honest. If I were to tell you exactly what I want, I would tell you that I want to be single. I want to be single because I'm still in love with somebody. I still love. So, like, and it's hard because you can only talk, statistically speaking, you can only talk to 9 people at a time, but usually it narrows down to 6, then it narrows down to 3. And then if you have 2, you shouldn't pick either. That's what you're, clearly your brain is confused and you shouldn't pick either, but life's like that. I was told recently a story by somebody I know, and he told me, which is funny, but he told me he dated 2 people at the same time, which is, it makes sense, obviously. He wasn't committed to either of them, but he did date them at the same time, similar like talking stages basically. And he said it was so hard to keep up sometimes because both of their names were very similar. But he said to me, I picked the one that I saw a future with and was super ambitious with. You know, one that like cared about their future and what they wanted to like do with their life. And I feel like, in a sense, you know, us as people, I think that every single person has a mommy or daddy issue. You can have a secure attachment, correct, but, and that is a big but, you can still have issues form where you're clingy, or you're insecure about certain things, or you become codependent in some cases in your relationship, or you might find yourself never wanting to be alone, so you're always with somebody. I just read a book recently. It finished it. It was a memoir, and it was called Everything I Know About Love. I don't know if I spoke about it last episode, but it's by this journalist. She's a writer. Her name is Dolly Alderton, and she's from the UK, I believe. And she's her book is about her life, obviously. And I remember speaking about it with my best friend, and she was like, it's so weird. How can you remember all of this that's happened in your life, you know, and like put it into a book? It's insane. But she talks about Everything I Know About Love. And she has this one line at the very end. It says, I don't know anything about anything. She's like, I don't know anything about anything, but what I do know is everything that I've learned. And I know a couple of things that she's said in her book, I've said too. Like I've said, never lie about having an orgasm. Don't fake it. You don't need to stay in a relationship. It doesn't matter what it might be. Call off the wedding. Call off your engagement. Call off whatever. If you don't like the job, don't do the job. Like, she basically just says, just do your life how you want it to do. Like, love yourself and love your friends. And she said the most important relationships that she ever understood and like understood love was from her platonic relationships with her girlfriends, with her friends that were girls. So when we're talking about somebody that has daddy issues, you know, you don't like being alone. If I'm gonna be completely honest, I haven't been alone since I've been 21. So once I was started to be sexually active, I believe that I was never alone. Really, I was never alone. I didn't get into an actual full-blown relationship until I was 23. And that relationship didn't last very long. And he was an asshole. And there are just some people in the world that are assholes. I forgive him, but he was still an asshole. So, you know, and he was everything that I was attracted to because he was emotionally unavailable, a narcissist. And he was somebody that I thought I could impress my parents. And it didn't even matter. Didn't even matter because he didn't even love me. He lied to me, you know. He had a mommy issue. Moms out there, like, there are moms out there that will, he was one of them, his mom was one of those people that were like, you better protect him. You better take care of him. And in my head, I'm like, he better take care of me. He better protect me. What you mean? He's the man. I'm the woman in this relationship. And I hate to be like, you know, saying there's gender roles, but like, I'm gonna be completely honest here. Like, you're the man. Like, you're gonna take care of me. Like, right? Like, but anyways, and I don't want to be like, oh, backwards thinking, but like, I'm gonna be completely honest. I like to be taken care of. So like, when I was getting told that by his mom, I was like, this isn't good. I don't like this. It's not cool. He forgot my birthday. You know, that I have a thing with my birthday, and there's only been one boyfriend I've ever had that has always made me feel special on my birthday. And let me tell you what, isn't that crazy? This last birthday, I cried my eyes out. I cried my eyes out because I did something 2 days before my birthday, and it was not good. And here I am, like, finally divulging that happened, but it happened, and I felt so terrible about it. But on my actual birthday, at midnight, while I was in Greece, because I was in Greece and it was my birthday, that man texted me, and he said, "Well, I hope you have a happy birthday." But he was texting me consistently about all of the problems that we were having, and I just remember feeling so trapped in another country, on another continent. And then I remember, like, when I cried it all out, because it was midnight. I cried. And then I woke up at 7 a.m. and I put on a dress that I wanted to wear. I put this really cute bag that I have. I got my journal and I got a book, put it in my bag, and then I walked and I walked and I walked and I walked. And then that was the day that I went and seen the Parthenon and Acropolis. I was on Acropolis. I walked everywhere there. I walked everywhere until like nighttime, and then even at nighttime I like walked around. I walked everywhere. I felt very at ease. I felt very blessed because I say that I want to be single, and I keep constantly saying it, but I keep continuing to have conversations with people that I love, like people that I would never want to see out of my life. And, you know, maybe one day I'll stop talking to them, but as of right now, I have an issue with never speaking to them again. I can't do it. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would need them to block me or them to stop talking to me, you know, because I couldn't. And I feel bad saying it because I love these people. And, you know, you can't, like, oh, man. One of my daddy issues, you know. And, you know, basically in my head I was like, I'm gonna break up with them before they break up with me, because clearly I'm not good enough. But it isn't the case, you know. And I keep thinking about how I like listen to these podcasts, and they talk about dating yourself, and they talk about, like, you know, you wanting to do something and having their partner, like, fully enveloped within them and caring about everything that they do. And I hate to say it, I went on a date recently with this person. I don't hate to say that, but I went on a date with this person, and I really, really like them. Let me tell you, I really do. Like, they treated me so well, like, extremely well. And I told them that I needed to stop talking to them. I had to cut them off because I didn't want to make an attachment to them, because I already knew that I adored the way that they treated me, but they didn't text me. And I'm like all about like constant communication all the time. Like, I needed to be texted all the time. Like, I want to be answered all the time. I want you to text me, you know? And then I found out that his job, like, is a job that he's always on his phone already, you know? So he was like, he told me originally that, like, he likes being in person. And I was like, you know, I didn't really click until I like started doing this thing where you have to be constantly on your phone and you have to like make sure that you're answering emails, answering all this stuff. And, you know, he was like, you're coming in a bit too strong. And in my head, I'm like, I don't care, you know, that I'm coming too strong. It's fine. And I don't know if I've spoken about this. I'm sure I have. But like, in my head, like, now I understand what he meant, because I didn't understand quite literally that he was like, I'm always on my phone. I don't always want to be on my phone. And if I miss your text message, I'm sorry. You know, like, but I just, oh man, I just like put like bullet horns. Like, I was so upset and so mad for no reason, because, you know, I wasn't that upset. I was just like, I just gave up so quickly, because I just feel like I just want somebody to fight for me. And I know that sounds so bad and unhealthy, but that's definitely like a daddy issue, I'm guessing. Like, you know, you want somebody to like be there for you. You want somebody to like care about you. And I posted recently on my story that you deserve to have planned out dates. You deserve to have long talks on the phone. You deserve to have somebody wanting to just text you that they miss you in the middle of the day. Like, they, you do. And one day, I hope that somebody does that for me. I hope that not everything that I do makes them overthink. And I hope that they, like, I hope that they don't make me overthink. I hope they never question how I feel about them, because I know that I feel a lot about them. But the person that I was in a relationship before told me that I put them on a pedestal. And I don't do that anymore. I do that to myself. Like, I feel like in the last 3 months or so, you know, I keep getting told, I got told recently that I was mean. And, you know, I hate to say this, but you, as a recovering people pleaser, I'm not mean. I'm just caring about myself a little more. And I try to tell somebody to be selfish with themselves, because having these issues, these mommy, these daddy issues, are, if you don't go to therapy, if you don't talk it out with yourself or to somebody else, your friends, your family, you really don't have an out, you know, you don't have an outlet, because you're just internalizing all of it. And I personally, I said, I think that you need to take care of you. You need to do things that you like want to do. And I don't want you to feel like I'll ever stop you from doing those things, because I shouldn't. You, when you're in a relationship with somebody, platonic or romantic, you need to have your own life that just is dedicated to you and what you want to do and what you like to do. And yeah, when you come back in the same space with that person and you share your experiences and you share things that you're in common with them and you do things together as well is amazing. But at the end of the day, you need to have a life for yourself. You need to not live for your mom. You need to not live for your dad. You need to live for yourself, not live for your partner. That's the biggest thing that I can tell you. And let's see. The other thing that I believe he had asked me about is, let me see, I'm sorry, I'm pulling it up, so it's gonna take me a second. Where is his name? I'm pulling it up, it's gonna give me a second. He asked me, yeah, he said, basically he said, I talked about how growing up and childhood affects what we desire in adulthood. Let's go back to the CNC dude. This person that I talked to about CNC, I don't talk to him anymore, and he probably listens to this podcast, and I hope he doesn't. I hope I didn't offend you. I really thought you were a really cool person. I just don't think that you should bring it up the first time we meet, because I am more than just my podcast and more than just a sexuality figure. But I digress. The reason why I think that he was the way he was is because, you know, I feel like being Asian, growing up Asian, you're very restricted into everything. So our bodies tend to be like, oh, we like this restriction. We like to restrict other people sexually because we've been restricted our entire lives. We've been told to do things, or we've been a failure, or we've been told that we're not good enough, or that they don't love us, or they're not proud of us. But when we're in power, you know, that gives us, especially in the bedroom, you know, you feel a sense of power and dignity, and like you want to exude that power. I know that I've also had heard the theory of like, when a woman is a CEO of something, she just wants to be sub to somebody that's in power, dominant of them, because they've been dominant the entire day, you know, which is probably that's the case sometimes, or sometimes they just like to be dumb. Like, I gonna tell you personally preference, I like to switch, but I love being like sub to somebody, but I also love to be dom to somebody. Like, when I tell you, it is a fan favorite of mine to hear somebody tell me, oh my god, you're gonna make me come, or when they're like, oh my god, like, if you feel so good, or like choking people or suffocating them, you know, because riding face is my favorite thing. And I feel like this is so intimate because I know so many people listen to this now, but let me tell you, this is not as intimate as me like actually doing it, because I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you about it. And telling you about it is like visual representation for your brain. So it's just like a movie in your brain, I'm telling you. And you could do it too. And I highly suggest, and I want you to do that for yourself if you want to try it. But I also found out recently, like, it turns me off if the guy says that they don't eat out. Like, I don't like that shit. You tell me you don't like to eat pussy, then I don't want to suck your dick, because that's not gonna happen. Like, I won't suck your dick if you don't eat my pussy. Like, I just won't. I think that a girl needs to, I think, and I sound so cliche saying this, but she deserves to come first, because there's just no way you're not gonna come. Like, you'll probably come and the girl won't. In some cases, in some instances, it's not always the case, obviously, because I know I've been in situations where the guy never comes, but the girl always does. Just, I digress from there. But as I said, let's go back to the mommy and daddy issues. A big thing is I don't know. A big thing is you want attention, you know? When you have these issues, you just want attention from people, and you want them to care about you in a certain way. So I hope that whoever you're with, whoever your partner is, or whoever you're talking to, or whoever you're being sexually active with, hopefully, and I pray, that they treat you well and they treat you right, and that you are cared for, because you deserve it. And I'm very happy you exist. And I love you guys. And I know that this might be short, but I did tell you about some issues that I may have, you know. Hopefully I'm working through them more so now. And hopefully that the people that I've been with, or the people that know that are in my life right now, currently, that I want to continue to have in my life, know that one day, hopefully, I will get it together. But when I tell you, I think the one thing that I feel like is a project for me is probably being able to tell this person that I can't continue talking to them if I don't see a future with them, because, you know, I keep being told by other people, strangers, you know, when I tell them the story, they go, well, this person has something that you don't have, right? And you also are gonna be, you know, and is stuck in a situation where, you know, you probably will never be able to leave, you know, and move somewhere. There are a lot of factors that come with this. Because love isn't everything. And, oh man, I hate to say that because it feels so disgusting coming out of my tongue and it feels cringy coming out of my mouth, but it isn't. Unfortunately, you have to, like, make sure that you're compatible with each other. But I feel like the best way to know that is that, like, I think the best way to know that is that the person that you try to be with for a lifetime, right, or for however long, they have to be your best friend. And you have to be able to be honest with them about everything. Like, I know that me personally, I'll be like, oh, that's mean, I don't want to say it. And then I say it anyway, and then they're like, yeah, okay, like, whatever, it's fine. And then they continue, like, saying whatever. But the people that are like, I tell them something and then they get upset at me, I'm like, oh, you know, this is, I don't know. But anyways, I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you had a great week. And I hope that you have a great Friday. Because I'm posting this on Friday. I hope that everything works out for you today. And I hope you have lots of sex. If you haven't, I hope you get head. I hope you fuck somebody soon. I hope you get oral. Maybe the best thing is I just learned about, you know what's worse is that the person that the CNC dude, I just wanted to dissect his brain. It would have been so cool to dissect his brain and learn about all of these things through him, and can't because you know, like, I was like, no, can't talk to you no more. But anyways, I love you guys, and I'm very happy you exist, and I hope that you try a new sex position today, or you sing a song, or get under the influence at home, safely, with your partner, or whoever. Anyways, I will talk to you guys next week, and I am confirming that I have daddy issues and mommy issues. So anyways, if you are the same, you know, just hit me up. Follow me on Instagram, Filipina Vlogs, FilipinaVlogs. Filipina Vlogs. So if you have any questions, or if you want, literally that's all my social medias. So if you want to look me up that way. That's Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, everything. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. I love you. Okay. Mahakita. Bye.